Once we get to this higher level of human consciousness, is it automatic? Is it definitely going to happen around this October time period next year?
Well, what the Pleiadians said in the Pleiadian agenda was that our reality, our physical reality, the planet, would be permeated by the full Bohr blast of nine dimensions of consciousness. And they seem to be saying that people can't avoid it anymore. In other words, when that juice comes on, people are going to have to respond to it and move very, very quickly into much more advanced levels of dealing with reality. Let me just give you an example.
All right.
Of that. For example, in the healing movement, we've been doing a lot of body work for the last 30 or 40 years because we recognize that people have so many hidden blocks in their bodies. And what healers are doing is constantly helping people to clear the blocks so they can go to another level. Well, imagine what it would be like on this planet if that energy opened up and suddenly everybody's blocks were opening pretty much simultaneously.
Let's talk a little bit more about this crystal core that you say was in the first dimension. Explain that more.
Yeah, the Pleiades. I always in alchemy, what I did is half the book explains what the Pleiadians said, and the other half of it examines it scientifically. So, according to what the Pleiadians say, they say that this matrix in the center of our planet holds all the records of all time, the book, as you said, the book of life, and that we have the ability in our dimension to access all that information, which I have definitely experienced to be true myself, and I've known a lot of other psychics who can definitely do it too. It just depends on how much time you have. And then scientifically speaking, we now know that there is a very, very, there's one huge, dense iron crystal in the center of our planet that is probably about as big as the moon. I mean, it's huge.
Hmm.
And this is science. This isn't channeling. And so in our work, we travel down into the crystal. That's one of the fun things about the workshops is taking people down into the crystal.
It was just formed as the planet formed?
I don't think anybody knows how this happened. I mean, it has to do with how the planet's accreted. Nobody knows. The reason we know about it, George, is that the geologists had set up sensors by, this is 1996. By 1996, they had managed to set up sensors all over the planet because they were trying to detect what would happen if there was an earthquake on one side of the planet that was strong enough to send a wave all the way through the planet to the sensor on the other side. And so there was a very, very deep earthquake in, I think it was Colombia. It was in that area of South America, about a 9.5 earthquake that was about 500 or 600 miles down. And it sent the signal, and at that point, they were able to establish what was down there. But we can't do that on Jupiter or Mars or Venus. We don't know whether the other planets have anything like this, but we know that the Earth does. And we know that it has a lot to do with gravity and a lot to do with electromagnetism. It's a very big factor on our planet.
You have gotten into crop circles in your work. Mm-hmm. What's its relationship?
Well, the crop circles, the reason I put them in the book is because they create themselves by means of the nine dimensions. And, of course, where does that idea come from? Well, I used to be a crop circle researcher back in the 80s and 90s and spent a lot of time hanging out with the circles. And the way it works is that a moment in time comes in the Mayan calendar timing when a certain form needs to come to the consciousness of Earth. And are you aware of the crop circle about 3 or 4 days ago that's based on Euler's formula?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing crop circle.
Yeah,
I mean, just a knockout. And Euler's formula is considered to be one of the most beautiful mathematical formulas. And, you know, mathematicians will say that it's the only thing they know that even describes human love. I mean, it's an amazing formation. And so what happens is it's time for Euler's formula and the energy of it to implant on our planet. So the Mayan calendar releases the time code into the divine mind. Then the divine mind releases it into sound, and a lot of crop circle researchers have heard sound when the crop circles actually occur. Then the sound creates the geometry, and then the geometry creates the love, which brings the energy to our planet. And then it in the fourth dimension, the crop circle polarizes between dark and light. And then finally, the crop circle imprints on the field of the planet somewhere. But the interesting thing about it is that these crop circles are mostly appearing only in certain parts of the planet, such as Wiltshire in England. And the reason for that is that the second dimension has certain energy forms in it that make it possible for that crop circle to come through. So to me, this, having spent so much time in crop circles, this is just a simple idea. But then what I did is I had my illustrator illustrate it. So I've got an illustration in the book showing the idea of the crop circle coming through the dimensions, because I think it is the best demonstration of this nine-dimensional model that is happening on the planet.
With these Earth changes, Barbara, that are occurring right now, I mean, it's almost like the perfect storm of events. I sometimes think maybe that's what this 2012 period meant, that they knew that the planet was also going to undergo some huge physical changes. But you think primarily it's going to be one of consciousness.
I think Earth changes are definitely a part of it. And that's why I've been doing my website, Tracking Astrology, because, see, I take the issue of where we are in an underworld, but then month by month, moon by moon, and season by season, I'm working it out astrologically, because the astrology itself is just showing just tremendous levels of Earth changes on the planet. I'd be the last person to deny that isn't happening, first of all, especially since mid-January. And that also is going to accelerate more. But I think it's so important not to go into fear and ideas about the end of the world. This is a birthing and a breakthrough to a new level. And as difficult as it is for all of us to live with this, I think that we need to, I'm personally incredibly excited about what's happening. And I just hope I'm not going to be in the middle of an earthquake. I hope you're not, too. You know, I live in a very, very heavy-duty tectonic zone. And maybe I'll have to experience something like that. I hope not. But I do believe that our planet is really moving into another level. You're familiar with Teilhard de Chardin, the paleontologist, the French paleontologist?
A little bit, not a lot.
Yeah, because he's the one who said back in the 50s that we were headed for this breakthrough point, and that we were coming to the peak of our evolution. And Carl Coleman really takes off from Teilhard de Chardin. In other words, he takes that idea and then he goes forward with it and believes that the Mayan calendar actually expresses the timing of these changes.
So you think we'll be okay? That's the bottom line.
I think we'll be okay, but at the same time, the next couple of months are going to be some of the worst that we've ever known. I always hate to say depressing things, but we're coming up to a series of eclipses now, and we're coming up to the summer solstice period, and we're coming up to the real intense peaking of a lot of the difficulties that we're experiencing. And this includes the financial system as well as the issue of Earth changes.
It's a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's and that's why I like the term time acceleration, because it's just going faster and faster and faster. And all we can do is try to comprehend it and stay as balanced as possible.